Sachaka Talk, artist residency in the Amazon rainforest, Peru.
Here with us today is Roslyn. Roslyn is a very good friend of mine. We've stayed in touch and we continue to communicate through WhatsApp. So Roslyn was here 2 years ago, and now she lives in LA and she's an actress. Can you tell us a little bit about your Sachaka experience and how it has helped to shape what you're doing right now in the world?
Hey everybody, I'm so excited to be here, be a part of this chat. I was a Sachaka artist back, yes, in 2017, and it was a beautiful experience. So thank you, Trina, for inviting me to come and chat on the podcast, because this is great. So, all right, yay. Yes, Sachaka has impacted my trajectory. I mean, I don't know. I can't say enough beautiful things, wonderful things. So when I decided to go to Peru, it was really kind of a magical experience in and of the fact that I was in a point in my life where I had just done drama school. I was really exploring, trying to figure out how am I going to be an artist, be an actor, where am I going to do that in the United States? So instead of deciding, I decided not to decide and explore an artist residency in Peru, which is where I had always wanted to go. I came to that through a breathwork meditation, at least that I needed to travel. And I came up with an idea for doing an artist residency, and I was focusing on writing, I was focusing on poetry, and just kind of being open to whatever projects that were there, collaborating with the other artists that were living there with me. I really allowed myself to kind of go with the flow that was being given to me at the time. And what a magical place. I mean, I stayed in the little house. There's a little independent house where you have your own kitchen, and then your upstairs is the loft and the bed space. So I was really like in my little unit, you know, and I had my coffee in the mornings, and I'd lay in my hammock and watch the monkeys swing from the trees. And this is exactly what I wanted and what was going to feed my soul. I also developed a meditation practice and developed sort of a ritual of writing and contemplating, reviewing what I had written. And I think that process, not only that, but that, I guess, growing of my artistry and sort of embracing some of these, the meditations that I was having, getting to talk to you, Trina, about those meditations, that was invaluable. It wasn't just me sitting in my own head anymore. It was discussing it with you in such a magical place. I just really feel like it set things in motion for me to embrace all of the artistry that I am, not only as an actor, but as a multifaceted artist. We got to do a couple projects and with some of the artists that were there. But I think that the biggest thing was being able to come back to myself, come back and know that in a time of where artists, I feel we have to sort of balance that line of like producing to feed ourselves, but then also we still want to touch in and be inspired. So it was a very it just taught me about that balance to be struck. I feel like that's what I'm doing right now, kind of in this pandemic, you know? I'm able to take a time out and, you know, paint and play my guitar and write some more. I've been writing some songs, but I also am, and there's incredible opportunities with casting directors right now. If all of y'all, any of you are actors, like they're on the gram and they are on all social media. So if you're interested, check it out.
So when you were at Sachaka, it was Festival Patrona time. So can you just tell people about the Festival Patrona and and how what your take on it was.
To Sichaka, there was a... It's their yearly festival, Festival Patrona, where all of the surrounding villages come together and they shared their traditional dances, traditional food. There were artists that were there as well, painting different murals in the town square. There was a parade that the kids got to do. I mean, it was just an entire week of festivities. It was right when I got there. It was great because we as artists got to participate. So I collaborated with the two other artists that were there. It was amazing. It was a gift to be able to be a part of that and then to witness it too, to see all of these traditional dances that were taking place, clothing that was being worn, and then just these little festivities. I don't know. I mean, I can't even explain. They were just getting to be a part of it and getting to be a part of a town during its height, during this, like, this incredible celebration, I guess. That's what I mean when I say height. It was just like a hyper reality and, you know, good spirits all around, and just the way that we would even drink beer together. We would get one beer and then we would have one little cup and we would pass around the cup. We put a little bit of beer into the cup and then you just like kind of shoot it and then you just pass it around in a circle. I mean, San Roque was so welcoming and just invited us all in. The kids were so excited to be a part of, to see what the artists were doing, to see these artists who were coming from, they were part of, where, you know, we were part of their festivities, but that we were also obviously this new thing. Like, what do we have? I had a GoPro, I had some fiber flies. So these little pieces of another world that we brought in and shared with them. They were fascinated by that. Like yoga, you know, teaching them yoga in the square in the mornings throughout. One of the other artists that was there, he made a mask, and I can't tell you, we played this monster mask game for like a good 3 nights in a row, and the kids never got tired of it. It was just like, you would pass the mask back and forth, I think, and then it would be, yeah, you'd, I think Jacob has the mask, or he was given the mask, but the kids would just, it was like playing a game of like chase and catch, you know, just like, where's the monster? Ah, and then they run away. And then, you know, we'd go hide, and then we'd go back and get him, and rah, and then they'd run away, and then they'd come back, and they'd be like, what's the monster going to do? What's he going to do? And it was just beautiful. The music never stopped. It never stopped. It was amazing. Like, throughout the night, like you could hear the bass drum just going boom, boom. The Pandilla music all day. Yeah, it was great. So if you ever want to go to Sichaka and you're interested in Festival Patrona, you can go at the end of July, because that's when the festival happens.
I know that you went to see my healer after the residency, and you did a few plant dietas with Pepe. Can you speak a little bit about that experience and how life-changing that was for you?
When I went to Sichaka, I feel like I was, like I was saying, yes, my heart was very open to whatever I would find there. In Peru, through the artist residency, through the people I met, and it was the first time in a long time that I feel like it was a place where I really felt like I found my tribe. And I had had that experience before when I was in drama school in England, and I didn't ever think that finding a community like that again. I mean, I think I was more just lamenting that, you know, I had that community for a couple years while I was abroad, and then it was just never, that was never going to be true again, and kind of sad about that. But being at Sichaka, it just, and with the community that is and surrounds San Roque, I found these incredible people who were thinking along the same lines that I was thinking about the world and about consciousness and about what our purpose is here as these soul beings. And Sachaka really became more about kind of allowing that part of me to bloom. And it was this fertile ground, and not only fertile, but supported space, supported and loving space for this part of me to be able to grow. And I think part of that, so that was just with Trina, with you, and then with the others at Sharapa Manta, and there was another couple in the actual village that I met and got along with, and we just had these moments and these nights, and it was magic. And along with that, yes, there was some, I would have conversations with you, Trina, about Pepe, about your healer, about the way and the way that your, that way that Pepe worked by using ancient plant medicine to clear your chakras and clear your energy centers, and how that it's not about just taking this plant that is a hallucinogen, and in fact it didn't have any properties of hallucinogenics with the way that he administered this technique. And for some reason, you know, I've had friends who have worked with ayahuasca previously to this, and it was something that I was interested in finding out more about, but I was also not called specifically to it, I wasn't pulled in that direction. But talking to you about the way that this happened and the way that, and the sort of the logic behind it, but also the way that it wasn't necessarily meant to just be this like crazy trip. It was, we're just clearing this. This is what we're doing. That's it. We're making sure that the energy is safe. We're making sure that this is a clear space. Boom, 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 boom. I mean, that sounded like something I could get behind, that it wasn't this, that it was very, very grounded and rooted, and it felt safe. And so I decided that I was going to go and try at least do an alignment, because that's what the initial thing is, where your energy centers are checked and where it's just there's an evaluation that's done. And so we went and did that, and a lot of the things that I was hearing resonated with me. A lot of the things that Pepe, the healer, was picking up were things that I knew and was finding out that were true in my life, like traumas that I had had, at a young age, you know, and how that was impacting this chakra and that chakra and this and that, and, you know, my perspective. And, you know, so I decided that, yeah, I'm going to go actually, and I'm going to go for a week, and I'm going to try, you know, to clear some of this stuff out. So I decided to go a couple hours away for the residency and try this. And then I came back to the residency after, and it was just like, something had opened within me. Something had just, like, my perspective had cleared. It was like, I think that a lot of times as an actor, I have this sort of voice. I think as artists, I mean, sometimes we all have it, I feel, but this just like voice in my head when I was on stage that would just say like, what are you doing? It's just really, really loud. It was just like the judger of like, you shouldn't be doing it this way. Oh my gosh, this person's in the front row. And it was just, I mean, I noticed that voice was there, and I was just like, whoa, like, how do I, like, I mean, I know that it didn't impact the performance, but I noticed it. So how do I make sure that kind of calms down a little bit? And I feel like that's what this work does. It's for me, it's calming me and helping me get back to my center, so that that sort of monkey mind, that kind of is ease, is soothed, is given attention. So thank you. And then I moved on from it. So that was like the initial week. So after I did, it was like a few sessions with Pepe. So I went there and took ayahuasca a few times. And for every person, it's different. However many times, you know, you need to sit. And they said, okay, well, when you're going to come back for the dietas? And I was like, wait, what? I mean, because when Trina and I talked, we initially talked about just, you know, going and doing the ayahuascas. And it was something that I wasn't really sold on. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do the dietas. I don't know. But they had said, like, these are the plants that you would take in order to help you with this. And so I went back to Sochaca for a month, because my initial plan was to be there for 2 months. And then I ended up, you know, considering it. And the more I sat with that option, you know, the more I sort of said, if I'm here right now and there's this opportunity to go and do some really deep dive soul work, I feel like that's really the reason why I was pulled here. You know, why everything has happened the way it's happened is prepared me to sort of dive into, yeah, this, my mission, which is healing, kind of starting, you know, healing and processing a lot of me, healing ancestors, healing my line, and taking responsibility for that. And so I decided, I went back and I started on these ancient plant medicines, and it was an incredibly, it was an experience of a lifetime. I spent 3 months there, around 3 months. And I just, oh my gosh, the plants just, I mean, you're taking the plants and then you're living at this place with all of these other individuals who are, you know, working on themselves. And I can't tell you how many times I would sit in ayahuasca ceremonies and I would just feel this incredible, enormous amount of love for every single person that was there, and for they who were doing this deep, deep work, because sometimes it's really not easy. You know, sometimes I was coming up with a lot of things that were just, like, from my history, from my own past that I was working on healing and dealing with. And, you know, then it was just like, and not even healing sometimes, just remembering and understanding the world and shifting my own perspective about it. So I started with some plants that were, it was sort of like the what the doctor's orders for those of us who live in the Western world, I feel. Not everyone, of course, but generally, I started with one that would sort of warm up my body and sort of make it ready to ease into receiving some of these other plants. And I feel like one of the biggest ones, I had so much inspiration and so much insight throughout these 3 months. And I think one of the biggest things was that I just really opened up my heart chakra through one of these plants and was healing a lot of issues that sort of stemmed from my own childhood. And being able to do that work and have time and space for that work, and to be able to speak plainly about that work, in a world where, I mean, I grew up in Iowa, you know, I grew up in a pretty conservative part of Iowa, and then I worked in the government. I worked in the U.S. Senate in D.C. And so, I mean, to say that, I mean, I wasn't somebody who was, like, living in Topanga or, like, in California where you have sort of, you're growing up with sort of this verbiage and this way of speaking about energy and alternative medicine, you know, it was all pretty black and white, and to be surrounded by these individuals who were, I had such respect and admiration for, who were able to communicate this with me and sort of open up that I also could communicate in this way, that was a gift. And, you know, kind of moving forward, I feel like it's so hard to answer, like, how has it impacted me? Because it's just, like, it's shifted my, like, everything about who I am is a result, or is impacted by the time I spent in Peru. Like, I'm just... I feel like I'm much more grounded. I'm much more open. I'm much more, there's a certain sort of, like, I healed a lot where, with regard to, like, loving myself. And I still feel like there's a long way for me to kind of go with that. Just, and that's me, you know, that's not necessarily anybody else, but, like, that's sort of my part of my work here is, like, how do I learn that? And how do I learn to love myself and learn completely, fully? And I mean, just, I'm just listening to these signs. I'm seeing signs. I'm seeing inspiration in the mundane, I would say. I would, you know, like in a walk and in just even sitting. I remember afterwards I was sitting at a cubicle and I saw a rainbow. It was like, it was in a lady's picture. I was sitting at this cube, and I was doing a lot of, like, data entry work back in Omaha, right? And honestly, I looked at that photo, and in that moment, the rainbow just reminded me, because we would see rainbows all the time in Peru, and I just, it was just a reminder that everything is exactly the way it is and is exactly the way it's meant to be, and everything will be okay, and I'm okay, and I'm grateful, and I have so much gratitude for where I'm at. And I feel like my DNA was a bit, like, was restructured in a way where to allow me for this openness and for this sort of creative fertility, if you will, an inspiration that will be the bearer of my movements forward in time to come. So I decided that I was going to go back to Peru last summer and start a documentary, start filming for a doc that I wanted to do focused on plant medicine in the Amazon rainforest, what I had taken. And the whole goal being, this is in order to get it out. This is in order to make it known to people that this exists, and it exists in a non-egoistic way, and it exists in order to help people if you're so called to take up this path and this
this modality, this healing modality. Because as I'm sure everybody, y'all know, like, there's, like I was saying, there's breath work where you don't take anything. It's just working on your own breath and breathing modality. And then there's Reiki, that's energy, that's non-touch. That's just working with your chakras and working with your energy centers. Then you got yoga, you know, there's massage therapy as well. I mean, and, you know, and there's ancient plant medicine. And I feel like the ways in which we have utilized, or the ways we can utilize plants, is profound, and that we're needing to rely on these ancient healers to remind us how much they can actually assist with our lives today. And granted, right, like, they were taking these back in, like, thousands of years ago, where there weren't Roku TVs, and there wasn't 4G, 5G, and there wasn't coronavirus. But I feel like Mother Earth has us, you know? She has us in her arms, and there wouldn't be anything that we're experiencing in mind, body, spirit, and physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that couldn't be aided by something that she can provide to us. We just have to hush and pause long enough in order to hear that, and in order to allow ourselves to be drawn to the thing that we need the most. So I'm excited about this documentary. It's called Medicina, and look for it. It's going to be out. Well, I feel like we're going to take it to some festivals first, and then we'll go about, you know, seeing maybe it can be picked up as a, I'd love it. I'd love to have the opportunity to make it into a mini series, a docu-series, where we focus on specifically different plants or different people who have taken these plants, you know, and see what their reactions are. But, you know, we'll see. That's the dream.
Thank you, Rosalyn, for that amazing account of your Sachaka experience. Do you have any questions for me regarding what's happening over here? And also, can you just try to sum up Sachaka in 3 words? Thank you so much.
Oh, I would have to ask you, Trina, what your plans are going forward for Sachaka. Like, what are some new inspirations you have? Is there anything that's going to shift or change? Or tell me, you know, what are those things that we can kind of look forward to? Either, you know, people who are new and coming, or people who have been, like me, and who want to come back and you know, hang for a little while, do another month or something. So I'm excited to hear. And then 3 words, that's a challenge. Something like always peacefully growing. Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And again, thanks everybody for listening. That's awesome. And yeah, spending some time with us. All right, let me know if you have any questions. Yeah, I'd be happy to answer anything if you have it, or if you're interested and you have other questions, want to learn more.
To answer where am I going with Sachaka, it's a very difficult question because I have so many different ideas and projects, and Sachaka has always really evolved with the artists that come, and it evolves with my life and how my life is changing and unfolding all the time. It's an organic thing. So I could say that we are starting an online shop that is selling local products, so that local organic products will be more available in the next, I'd say it's going to take about 6 months. And also I'd like to develop some plant medicine ranges for everyday ailments. People are always asking me at Sachaka how to heal from this and how to heal from that, you know, everyday ailments. And so I'd love to be able to dry out the plants and have them in packages and sell them to people for things like plant baths, for cleaning energy or arthritis and rheumatism. And also, yeah, I just want to be creative with that, the plants, you know, like it is a big part of who I am. I have so many different arms that I have for developing different ideas and projects, and also the ecotourism, but I'm developing a tour company exclusively in San Roque to open up more the Quechua Mista communities and the treats that are hiding behind the protected indigenous communities, and rightfully so, you know. Inti Ahilu, which is another project I have in mind, which will be developed at some point. The universe brings me these ideas and then I just wait for them to unfold. And another idea is Inti Ahilu Healing Exchange, and it's an idea to create an art centre for healers, so that instead of going to the studio to work and develop art projects, healers will be going to a temple to share and exchange alternative therapies such as yoga, meditation, etc., etc., and also like working with the local knowledge as well, and incorporating that into that idea. So I mean, many projects I have, you know, I'm just a bundle of creative energy. So I'll leave you on this note and with the laughter of Roslyn when I have said something that was probably very rude or naughty, like I am, and really, really got her laughing. This is the medicine of Roslyn's laughter.
You're exactly what I need. Oh, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Oh, I'm so happy you are in my life. Let me just say, so happy you are. You are part of my life. I love you, Trina.